Six parasha is parashas Behalaischa. This is the minhag. It used to be a minhag. I've read this in many places in ancient times. I wouldn't say the ancient times, but goes back at least 100 years, maybe 200 years, maybe 300 years. I don't know which, concerning which Hasidic Rebbe it was said about, but it seems it's cited in so many svarim that there was a minhag that on Shabbos Behalaischa, Parshas Behalaischa, there was an extra special dosage of simcha. More so than all of the other Shabbosos Hashanah. Special, special Shabbos. And they would go to shul, when they would go to shul Friday night to shul, and some say when the Rebbe would go, when they would escort the Rebbe to go to the mikvah. Okay, I don't know, I'm not familiar with all these ceremonies, but there's something very, very special about coming into Parshas Behalaischa. Why? Because in this sixth parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu tried to persuade Yisro to join the Jewish people, he used the words Ki Hashem. He said, "Come with us." Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. Ki Hashem diber has spoken tov, good, tov meod, tov. Hashem has spoken good al Yisrael. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken good for Klal Yisrael. Where do you have a pasuk like that in the Torah? Where it says in the Torah, it's a positive expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, most of the Torah is Musar. There's a lot of Musar in the Torah. And it's true, the whole Torah...
We need that pasuk.
We have a lot of Musar, the whole Torah and Tanakh, it's Moli Musar. Ki Hashem diber toiv, it's going to be good days are coming, Rabbi Sain. That's what it says. In this week's parasha, there's a gilui, good days are on the way. And therefore, when we come to Parashas Behalaischa, there's something very uplifting. There's something to be happy about, something to elevate us in simcha. And indeed, the people from years ago, they took this very seriously. And as they entered into Shabbos Kodesh, Parashas Behalaischa, they went into Shabbos with the words Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. If I may add, there's another very beautiful pasuk in this week's parasha, and that is Hayad Hashem tiktzar. Is the hand of Hashem? People will come in, Moshe, you're gonna give us meat? You're gonna give us a slav? Yeah. Where are you gonna get meat for 600,000 men in the desert? So Moshe said to them in this week's parasha, Hayad Hashem tiktzar. Is there something that Hashem can do? I think many of us, many times a day, we find ourselves in a very desperate situation and we wonder, Me'ayin Yavo Yezri, from where will our salvation come? And we have to remember, Hayad Hashem Tiktzar. Is there anything that Hashem can do? In the most desperate and possible situations, Hashem can bring about a salvation. And where does it say that pasuk? In which parasha? In Parashas Behalaischa. So this week is a very special Shabbos. Coming to Shabbos, you have two very, very positive psukim which we live with. Ki Hashem diber tov. We have a superiority complex. Make no mistake about it. Jews have a superiority complex. With the Am HaNivchar, and we know it. Chaviv Yisrael, we're bonim LaHashem Elokeichem. We are superior. No apologies about it. And where does it say that? Where does it really say that in the Torah more so than anywhere else in this week's parasha? Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael. And we should also know that there's nothing Hashem can do. Ki ayad Hashem tiksa. That's our hadama to parashas Behalaischa. Now the first Rashi, the first parasha, daber al aron v'amartelah Behalaischa saneiros. Just a quick short word. What does it mean Behalaischa? So Rashi tells us, Aaron had chalisha sadas when he witnessed the Nesiim bring special inaugural korbanos, but Shevet Levi did not have a chelik in the inaugural korbanos. So Hashem said to Moshe, don't be upset. Shelcha gidoyla Shem Elohim, she'ata madlik u'meitiv es haneros. What is the maila? What is this uniqueness about being madlik the neros? So there are many interpretations, there are a lot of ideas, we're not going to discuss any of them. One short ha'ara. Rashi goes on to say there's another interpretation, there are two translations for the word Behalaischa. One interpretation is that you shall light the neiros until the eish is oile me'alehen. You have to keep the shamas lit against the ner until it absorbs, it is ignited, and it can rise up by itself. That's the first pshat. The second Sharashi says the unusual word behaloischa comes to teach us that Aaron, when he lit the menorah, he stood upon a platform. Ma'aleh hoyo lefonav. There was a platform. There were three steps, and he stood on the platform and he lit the menorah. There is no other service in the entire Beis Hamikdash upon which you perform your service on a platform. I know you'll tell me the duchan. You'll tell me the duchan for the Levim. That's not an Ikar Hadin. It doesn't say in the Torah anywhere they stand on a duchan. That was an invention. That was something which was an enhancement. But as far as the Avoida itself, that's written in the Torah itself, the Mizbech itself is the Avoida. You do, that's part of the Avoida. That's the Mizbech itself is the Avoida. You're not standing on a platform. There's a ramp to get onto the Mizbech. But you're not standing. You're doing the avoda in the location of the mizbeach. You're not being elevated special. You, in order to get to the blood, you go on the mizbeach. And in fact,
when you get to the menorah, you stand on the platform. What's the difference?
No. When you're lighting the menorah, are you on the menorah? You're lighting the menorah by standing on a platform. When you go on the mizbeach, you're on the mizbeach itself. The mizbech, and when you're on the mizbech itself, you're putting the blood, and you're putting the blood on the mizbech. It's different. It's different. And what's the proof it's different? Because when you don't put the mizbech on the corners, and when you're not going on the fire, and you're putting the blood on the side of the mizbech, most korbanos, the application was on the walls. Where do you stand? Not on the platform, on the ground. On the ground, and you throw the blood on the wall of the mizbech. The only avoda in the Beis Hamikdash where you actually stand on a platform to do the avoda is the lighting of the menorah. What does that reveal to us? That's really what Hashem is saying. Aaron, all of the Nesim, they brought korbanos on the Mizbeach. They didn't stand on a platform. They were not in the limelight. They weren't on stage. The only avoda that you go on stage to perform a stage is the lighting of the menorah. The avoda is to light the menorah. You're not standing on the menorah. You're on a platform when you light the menorah. Why? Why is that so? It's coming to teach us that the lighting of the menorah, if it's that's what's done on a stage, is the most choshev before Hashem. Why is the most choshev before Hashem? Because what is the menorah symbolic of? Talmud Torah. Learning and teaching Torah. Chazal in many places equate the menorah, the or ha-menorah, is the or of Torah. Kiner mitzvah, the Torah are. There is nothing that is more chaviv before HaKadosh Baruch Hu than what you're doing right here, the Kollel coming and dedicating time to sit and learn Torah. There is nothing more chaviv. It is the only avoid of the Beis Hamikdash that is done on stage. Everything else is done over here. You go, you go into the basement and you do your avoida. When it comes to the mitzvah of Hadlokas Haneiros, the mitzvah of Harbatzas Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of bringing forth the or kiner mitzvah of the Torah or that is done on a platform to show Klal Yisrael that there's nothing mochaviv ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazos. From all the avoiders in the Beis Hamikdash, there's nothing left. The only thing that's left today until Mashiach comes is what the menorah represents, is what you do on the platform of the Hadlokas Haneris, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Okay, next idea. I'm very fond of the Rashbam. I quote you many times. I want to try over here to defend Rashi. You got to defend Rashi. We have a very big problem over here in this week's parasha. Ahalos will begin with the menorah, and it says the menorah that you shall light, there are seven eros, and the word the Torah uses to describe that luck is El Mol Pinei HaMenorah Yeiru Shivas HaNeiros. Rashi is disturbed as to why it says the word Mol. What does it mean, you shall light El Mol Pinei? What is the ponim? What is the Mol? So Rashi says what this means is, the seven Neiros of the menorah, we have to divide into three parts. There's the center branch, and then there are the branches on the left and on the right. The three on the left, three on the right. And Rashi says that when you make the menorah, you shall construct the menorah in a way where it's tilted. The menorah, the neros on the left and on the right are slightly tilted towards the center, so that when you light the neros cast their light towards the center. The penei is the center branch. Mul means towards. It should be tilted that the three branches on the left and the right, they tilt, they point towards the center to indicate that Hashem does not need light. There's no need for light, a light fixture in the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is the source of light to the entire world. Hashem certainly can bring light into the Beis HaMikdash regardless of our lighting of the menorah. The purpose of the menorah is a spiritual light. And to indicate that it's a spiritual light, it was designed in a way that casts the least amount of light into its environment to show that it's not being lit to produce light. It's being lit for other reasons, for spiritual reasons. That's why it says, "Lmul pnei hamenorah." Now, there's a very big difficulty with the words of Rashi. And this is what the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, addresses. If Rashi is correct, and that's the Pshat on the Pasuk, "Lmul pnei hamenorah," it's the center branch, and the other branch are tilted towards the center. The pasuk should conclude Yoiru Sheshes Haneros. That's what it should say according to Rashi. It should say Baloy Daber El Aaron V'Amarta Elav Behalos Ches Haneros El Mul Pnei Hamenoro Yoiru towards the center. The ponim is the number 7. That's the center. Yoiru. It shall cast its light Sheshes Haneros. That's not what it says. It says in the Torah, Shivas Hanef. It's a very tough question. Therefore, the Rashbam disagrees. And the Rashbam says, I'll tell you the Pshat in the Pasuk. It means the Pnei does not mean the center branch. The Pnei means in the opposite direction. The menorah is on the south. The Panim is the north. What is opposite the menorah? The Shulchan. And the Pasuk is teaching you that the light of the menorah, the menorah, there was a purpose for the menorah. It was to cast light. But not in the environment. The purpose was to illuminate the lechem aponim. The menorah was opposite the shulchan. And the Pasuk says, you shall light the neros. El mul, it should be lit. El mul, penei, the opposite side of the menorah, from the south to the north. Yoiru, all 7 neros, all 7 shall be tilted towards the shulchan, so that the light of the menorah illuminates the bread upon the shulchan hazav. And you can elaborate upon all we did in the past. We discussed in the past what is the significance of the menorah casting its on the shulchan. It's another time. But the question is, what about Rashi? Who's going to defend Rashi? Rashi needs a good lawyer to defend himself for this problem. So perhaps we can suggest a very simple answer, and that is, you're only as good when you have leaders. It's a very simple idea. When you have a leader is only as it can be effective if the people that he leads believe in him. If he is empowered, and a person takes a position of authority and his follower against the will of his followers, and his followers, I mean the people that he represents, they don't believe in his mission, they don't support him, then there's no way he can succeed. You can only succeed in a place where the people who you represent want you to succeed. A Rebbe can only be successful in teaching his students if the parents want the Rebbe to succeed. If the parents call up every day with complaints, and they whatever the Rebbe says to do, the parents at home do the opposite, and they don't work together, there is no way in the world the Rebbe can succeed in carrying out his mission. If you represent a group of people, it's a reality. You need the power of the people who you represent behind you so that you can succeed. When the Pasuk concludes, El mul pnei hamenoro yiru shivas haneros, exactly correct. Opposite, the only reason why the center branch can produce light is only because the other 6 branches are empowering it. Create the menorah, ba'lois ches haneros, el mul pnei hamenorah, towards the center of the menorah, yiru, it shall produce light, the Shivas Haneiros. There are going to be six branches which are going to give power to the center branch. According to one opinion in the Gemara, the Ner Ma'aravi, there are two opinions as to which is the Ner Ma'aravi. According to one opinion, the Ner Ma'aravi is the center branch. It's the center. If you learn that the Ner was arranged from south to north, then the Ner Ma'aravi is the center branch. And it was the Ner Ma'aravi which lasted 24/7. There was a Chanukah miracle every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Why was there a Chanukah miracle? Why? How did this come about? Rashi is telling us how that miracle came about. It's because the other six branches gave it power. The reason why the center branch lit Me'erev Ad Boker miraculously 24/7 was because it had the support of the other six branches. The other six branches were tilted, were looking towards the center branch. When you have the support of your followers, there is nothing you cannot accomplish. You can succeed limala miderech hateva. Put enough oil just for a couple of hours, it'll go forever. Why? Because who do I represent? I represent the tzibur. And the sum is greater than the parts. That's Rashi. Rashi takes on a whole new meaning now. If all six branches are going towards the center, you know what's going to be like now? Shiva Saneros, two Madregas. They're the six, and now the seventh also is going to be lit. And the seven that's going to be lit is in a whole new level. And what's the proof? The proof is the Ner Ma'aravi. The Ner Ma'aravi, Chanukah miracle, every single day. The Rashbam doesn't tell us how the miracle came about. The Rashbam is now the one who needs a good lawyer. Because according to the Rashbam, why was there a miracle of the Ner Ma'aravi? If all seven kings are equal, and they're all casting its light towards the Shulchan, so what's the Naila of one over the other? According to the Rashbam, it's obvious that he held the Ner Ma'aravi, you should know, is not the center. Cannot be the center. It's a total zebzeb. Because if he learns that mul means towards the north, so that means all seven arrows were arranged from east to west, casting their light towards the north. So according to the way they were positioned, according to the pshat of the Rashbam, the Ner Ma'aravi is not the center. It's totally zebzeb. Cannot possibly be the center if he learns the reason why all the seven eras were casting their light towards the other side. That means they were aligned from west to east, casting their light in that direction. So in the Gemara, if you learn like that, then what's the Ner Ma'aravi? It's not the center. Then it's going to be the second is the Ner. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi learns at the point our drush, our machshava, that the Ner was arranged from south to north. And the Yiru, the six Neros, are pointing towards the center, empowering the seventh Ner. And now Yiru, Shiva, Saneros, all seven are kindled, and the center is on a new level, a new Madrega, and indeed it's been empowered. We now can clearly, it's simple for us to relate to the theme, to the concept of why there was something called a Ner Ma'aravi. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this idea, this whole thing I'm about to tell you now, was all triggered because of one little thing I saw in a Sefer published by Rabbi Benjamin Yudin from JM in the AM, right? Every Friday morning, I have a listen to him. What? Benjamin Yudin, so he does anyone know where he teaches? He's a Rabbi, he's a Balamid.
My wife's cousin.
Where does he teach? He teaches at YU, yeah? Okay, YU in the high school or in the Beis Medrash? You're going to the high school, I think.
He's on the
Beis Medrash. Okay, whatever he is. He teaches the 18, he said he's 18, so he says something which opened up my mind to a whole new understanding of a lot of things in the parasha. And he said as follows. He says, he talks about, his main topic is Lomo Nigora. He speaks about this week's parasha. We learn about Pesach Sheni. So let me tell you what he says first. Then we'll work backwards. He says that in his class, he teaches, it seems like college students, and he has a very nice collection of students, all Masmidim, Bnei Torah, people who are growing in the Ruchnias. And he's a popular person, Rabbi Yudin. You know, he's a very popular person. And he has retirees, people who have retired from Parnasa, they have their set for life, And they want to learn Torah. So they come to YU and they come to his class. They come, they sit in the class, and they became like Talmidim. I relate to this because when I was in Tarvei Das, I went in a Reisman Shir, they were Balabatim. I went for a Tkufa for about almost a year to Rabbi Reisman Shir many years ago. And in his Shir, there were Balabatim, people who mamish retired, and they came to learn Yeshiva, and they sat there loyally learning by Rabbi Reisman. And from what I understand, there's some other Rebbeim in the Yeshiva who have their also people, you know, they Talmidim. They like, they come. Sir Yudin said, he said, look what's going on over here. He explained the dynamics of his classroom. He says, this classroom is writing about this. There are the students, the 18-year-olds. They have no choice. They must come to my class. Their parents put them in this yeshiva. They're paying tuition. They need credit. They need to graduate. Their parents have forced them to get a Jewish education. They got to come. If they don't come, you know, they don't get their grades and so on and so forth. They have no choice. They have to be here. They don't have a choice. They enjoy it. I'm sure they enjoy it. Okay, Rabbi Yudin is Rabbi Yudin. And then I have people here. No one's telling them to come. There's no attendance. They're not on the roster. They're not getting credit. They're here lishma. And he said the dynamics, the sum is greater than the parts. When the Talmidim in his class, who have to be there, they sit in the same class, and this Balabas comes every single day on time with a lishma, and he learns, and he takes notes, and he asks questions, and he participates. It makes a very powerful impression upon the students who have to be there, whether they like it or not. And in turn, he doesn't say this, but it's obvious, I know from what I've seen in Tarvei Das, is that the people who come by choice, they are very moved and inspired by the 18-year-olds. The young, fresh Talmidim who are forced, put in a straitjacket, tied down to be in the classroom. They have to be there. It makes an impression upon them. There's something to it, to seeing these young people here being educated, being taught Torah, a new generation being raised, even though it's against their will. It uplifts them as well. And each one feeds off the other. And it creates a whole new dynamic that you would not have just in a kollel for retirees. And you would not have just in a school where you have students. This blend is powerful. And I relate to it because I saw this myself. I saw this myself when I was in Tarvei Das. Chaim Lund never has something like this. There's no such thing, Chaim Lund, having people come from the outside. I was in Tarvei Das. It was open door. People came in. They actually.
Even in a kollel, if you tell people that you're going to share.
Just the fact that it exists. Absolutely, 100%. I was talking about in this environment where primarily it's a school, you have to be there, and now you have another element introduced into the classroom. People just want to be there. And it creates an inspiration for the students who have to be there. And in turn, the students who have to be there rubs off in a different way upon those who are coming there on their own free will. And each one feeds off the other, and it creates a very unique type of environment. I am a witness to this, and if you don't see it first and experience it, it's hard to describe. But it's really, really true. It's something, the sum is literally greater than the parts. This is what Rabbi Yudin said. Rabbi Yudin, I'm eating a lot more to what he said, but this really all comes from him, is that is really what's happening in the parasha of Pesach Sheni. Now let me backtrack and let me ask you a halachic question. Interesting idea. Halachic question. On Pesach Sheni, do we say Tachnun? So this generation, no way. This generation, they get shot for even asking the question. No way. You're not going to say Tachnun. What? You say Tachnun. Oh, okay, you say Tachnun. Maker Hadin, it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. From all the days of the year, it's the weakest. Lag Bo'imer, you don't say Tachnun. You don't say Tachnun. Lag Bo'imer. Lag Bo'imer, what's Lag Bo'imer? You would think Lag Bo'imer. No, Pesach Sheni is much weaker as a holiday than Lag Bo'imer. It's not even brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, and somehow it's like, oh, Pesach Sheni, of course. Not both. Yudalit and Tesvav. Erev, you know, it's already, it's a whole week. It's a celebration for a whole week, you know. You have Hachonis.
There are many that don't say Tachton the week of Hoyt.
Okay, that's a lot. All right, that's a lot. Well, Omer thing.
Now.
That,
part of Pesach Sheni. So the question over here is, I know someone always says make mamash make litzanis, and he would say, Pesach Sheni is not a holiday for one very simple reason. It's a yom tif for the tameim and the rechoykim. If you're tamei, you were tamei, you couldn't bring the carbon Pesach. If you were rechoyk, you're far away. You couldn't bring. What are you doing on the other end of the world when you're supposed to be in Yerushalayim celebrating Yom Kippur Pesach? What are you? Why are you tamei? Aren't you a responsible person to make sure that you're in Sif Tyra to bring the carbon Pesach? Okay, Lomo Nigora, Lomo Nigora. So Hashem had rachmanis on these poor souls, and Hashem made for them a Pesach Sheni. But primarily, Pesach Sheni is a Yom Tif for the tameim and the Rechaikim. Do you want to associate with the Tanayim and the Rechaikim? Really, you want to associate?
But when my brother is having the Simcha,
no. When your brother is having a Simcha, a real Simcha, then you want to associate. But when your brother is a Tame and a Rechaik, you don't want to associate. You do what you need to do, and I'll see you later. It's not something, it's a very strong argument. It's a very strong argument. It's not a Yom Tov, it's not a Lechatchila. This is not an excuse. Don't build up, don't go and celebrate failures. We don't celebrate failures. It's not a Lechatchila. No one should be Tamei for Pesach. It's a Chiyuv Kares. It's a serious business. It's a Chiyuv Kares. A Rochaik, not to bring Karim Pesach, is a Chiyuv Kares. So the person could not do it. He's playing with fire. So he's an oinus. What do you want from me? It's not my fault. A dead body happened to fall upon me from a helicopter. I'm going down the street and now I'm all blue. A dead body. Okay, a mace mitzvah. Fine, a mace mitzvah. You're right. There are very valid excuses. I was on a shlichus. I was rochok. I went to do a mitzvah. You're right. But it's not something you want to go and emphasize. It sends a very bad message to all of us who try very hard, everyone else who tries very hard to do the right thing, we celebrate failure also.
But you have a second choice. You have a second chance.
You're right. You have a second chance. No one's taking that away from you. But it's not something that you celebrate. It's a b'di'avad. You don't celebrate b'di'avad. You celebrate l'chatchilas. You set a very bad message. Don't worry. You can get an F. There's always another chance. It's not a healthy thing to see. We're so far from this, unfortunately, because we live in a world where everyone's a failure, right? So everyone's a failure. So lechatchila becomes a. It's not a healthy thing, and if you continue down this path of celebrating failures, you're not going to end up in a good place. It's not. Think about it very deeply, and you'll see. It's not years ago when you grew up. You didn't celebrate failures. Today, we celebrate failures. It's a part of an outgrowth of the liberal country. So this liberalism, everyone is the same. Okay? What percent of this country engages in this activity of to'eva? It's a mamish, a teeny fraction. You'd be shocked to find out the numbers. And yet, you would think, if not knowing, you go turn on the radio, you would think it's the majority of the country. You really think it's a mamish, a meal. It's less than 3%. If even that high. 3%, they control the country? 3% of the people control the country? 97% are disgusted by such activity? Liberals. Everyone is created equal. So do what you want to do in private. And no one's going to bother you. But don't impose your way of life upon 90% of the country. You're a mute. You're a miyut olav lahavi raya. So you have to go bend backwards to go live your lifestyle. Don't impose your lifestyle upon 90% of the country. That attitude has entered into our mindset in Yadlus, and therefore we celebrate failures. Everyone is equal. So Pesach Sheni is the greatest Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov for Tanaim and Rechaikim. It's not a Yom Tov to celebrate. So Rabbi Yudin adds a whole new dimension to this theme, and as follows. He says, he doesn't really say this. I'm going to go backwards to something, go further in a moment. Where, what happened Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni, everyone is chayiv in a carbon Pesach. The people who are Tomei and Rochaik, they're Oinsin. They are exempt. They got a special exemption. They do not have to ever bring a Korban Pesach, ever. They're exempt. And they're not going to be Chayiv Koris. They represent the people. They came to Moshe. Moshe, you're right, we're potter. We're retired. We have a pension. We can go travel. We can go to the library. We can go and watch, go to the theater. There's so many, feed the birds, play cards. So many things you can do with your time. Lama nigara. We rather be in the Beis Medrash. Lama nigara. You're right. We don't have to. We're potter. But lama nigara, we also want to bring a Korban Pesach. Just because of potter. Really? Okay. Pesach Shin, a special koilo for these people, lama nigara. So, think about it. Remember Yudin's example. These people, when they say lama nigara, first of all, they're an inspiration to us. When we look at when the people, we have no choice. We're not tamei. We're tar. We did it right. We're the mitzvah v'yoseh. We don't have the exemption. When we see people who are exempted and they want, it inspires us. And in turn, those people, why do they want? Why did they say lama nigara? Because they look at everyone else and they say, wow, look what these people did. They brought the Korban Pesach and they're bragging about it. And they're telling us about their experience. And we see they're different people through the experience of being Oyel L'Regel, coming to the Beis HaMidrash and bringing a Korban Pesach with a Gantz Klal Yisrael. They feel denied. So they do it. And when they do it, we're inspired. They're not mitzvah. And yet they come to Beis Medrash when they're retired. Wow. It's inspiring. It feeds, one feeds off the other. The fact that there are people who are Lama Nigara, it's an inspiration to us. We become different people when we bring our Korban Pesach, knowing the tzar that this fellow has, because this year he can't bring the Korban Pesach, because he's an Avelus, he's Tomei, because of a Meis Mitzvah, but he has tzar, and he wants to do it, and when we see his reaction, he has so much pain, and Lama Nigara, and he wants to bring another Korban Pesach, when he can't bring a Korban Pesach, we become different. And when we become different, we become energized, then the person who is missed out, he becomes even more energized. It feeds off, it creates not just this us and there's them. There's the Tahar, and there's the Tame. We have ours. The sum is greater than the parts. It creates an entirely new dynamic. And that's why, indeed, it's a yomtiv. It is a yomtiv. It's not just stam a yomtiv because it's a yomtiv for the Tameim and the Rechaikim. You're right. It's for the Tameim and the Rechaikim. If the Tameim and the Rechaikim did not affect us, then we would not celebrate it. But the fact that there are people out there who say Lama Nigara, they're not chayiv in the Yom Tov, and they want to do it anyway, it's all voluntary, they came with a demand, they want to do it, there was no chayiv, it only came about because they demanded, they wanted an opportunity, and Moshe said, let me speak to Hashem, let me see what I can do for you. And Hashem says, they want, I'll give them a new holiday. That inspired us. And we become more inspired, they in turn also become more inspired. And then we become more inspired. It creates a new dynamic, which indeed is cause for celebration. Don't say Tachmon. It's not just a yomtiv of failures. It's a yomtiv for, it's a success story. It's all part of the package. It's one big package, one new dynamic, the sum greater than the parts. And indeed, it is a minhag Yisrael today, not everywhere, but it's a yomtiv. It's because it's the bigger package of what it creates. Okay, now let's go.
Just ask you, if a person was tamei by the first Pesach, but he doesn't bring a carbon on Pesach Sheni, is he chayav karis?
I believe so. I think it's the Farish. I believe so. Yes.
He's chayav karis. Yeah.
Now, only because it's been enacted. It's been enacted. Only by originally not like it. Originally was looking now, but it's been enacted. Okay, now let's take this idea a step further. If you take note, all of the mitzvahs, seemingly, and I want to show this, I want to bring out the whole point, is all the mitzvahs, this week's parasha, all have the same theme. How does the parasha begin? It begins with Hadlokas Haneiros. Aaron Shalcha Gedola Mishlochem Shata Madlik Umeitives Haneiros. I have a question for you. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is a kohen is not required for the hadlokas haneiros of the Beis Hamikdash. A zor, a regular ordinary Yisrael, is permitted to enter into the heichal and light the neiros. The only thing that can only be done by a kohen in regard to the halakas haneiros is the hatova, is the cleaning of the neiros, the removal of the old wicks and oil, and the replacement of new fresh wicks and oil. That can only be done by a kohen. The actual kindling of the menorah can be done by anyone, even a Yisrael. And you don't need to be the kahuna. You can be wearing dungarees. Technically speaking, you can walk into the workers. Someone's doing some work. The workers were allowed. Their workers were allowed inside the heichal to do construction. They were there. Let's say any repairs need to be done. So you bring in a construction crew, and they come in a uniform. They come in, special clothing which you would not necessarily wear when you go to yeshiva. Oh, the neiros blew out, so the worker can light the neiros as long as he's tar. So what is Aaron? What's the big gedul over here? Aaron is lighting the neiros hagufa. Aaron is not mechuyev to light the neiros. If Aaron really wants to get out of it, Aaron can say, you know what, let someone else do it. I'm busy. I'm too busy for this. I'll just do the hatava. Let someone else do the hadlaka. The whole parasha begins, lama nigara. Just because I'm not mitzuveh to light the neiros, the whole thing is shelcho gedoyle mishalohem. Shata madlik, you're going to light. You're not even mechuyev to light. You're not mechuyev to light. I don't care that mechuyev. I want to light. I enjoy it. Lama nigara. The whole parasha begins with an avoida that Aaron is not even mitzuvah to do. What's the next halacha? The next halacha is, let's just skip around. Before we go to the next thing is, okay, when we get to the Levium. Okay, the Levium. We're going to come now, the whole parasha of the sanctification of the Levium, where Moshe positions them. Moshe positions them. Aaron, he waves them, and Klal Yisrael does smicha upon the Levim. How did the Levim get their job? Who appointed the Levim to become Levim? It was never meant to be the Levim should be Levim. It was meant to be given to the firstborns, the Avodah. How did they get this position, the Levim? Because at the time of the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu made a voluntary call. Mi l'Hashem Elai. We have work here to do. We have idol worshippers, people who worship the ego. I need some help in cleaning out the perpetrators, the evildoers. Aaron Moshe gives out a call. Mi la Hashem Elai. Who wants to come help me? Everyone can say, listen, I'm busy. I have a job. I have a wife. I have things to do. I don't got time for this. I'm sorry. I'm not interested. I get someone else. No one was forced to come. No one was mitzuveh, was commanded to assist Aaron, Moshe, in weeding out the evildoers. All the Levim said, Shevet Levi said, we hear the call. We are here. We take up the call. We're coming forward. The Levim, their entire entitlement to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, their appointment by Moshe and Aaron and the Ribbono Shel Olam, was only in reward for saying, doing something voluntary. Mi la Hashem Elai, they came forward. Okay, so we have over here so far the Hadlokas Haneiros, and we have number two, we have the Bnei Levi, then we have Pesach Shen Lama Nigara. What else do we have in this week's parasha? Yisroi, the whole parasha of Yisro. When Moshe begs Yisro, don't leave us. Stay. This is really where Benjamin Uni where talks about this whole idea. Now, it was not a Pesach Sheni. I'm sorry, it was by Yisro. It was Yisro. I made a mistake. It's Yisro. What does Moshe say to Moshe? To say to Yisro, Imamish begs, B'demo Shalish, Don't leave us. Come with us. You'll be our eyes. And the toiv that Hashem promised for Klal Yisrael, you'll have a chelik in this good blessing. Don't leave us. Why did Moshe not want Yisrael to leave so much? Because Yisrael was a ger. Yisrael was not a mitzvah v'oiseh. Klal Yisrael had no choice. Kofa aleihem har kigigis. Klal Yisrael were all the 18-year-olds chained down in the classroom of Rabbi Benjamin Yudin. They had to be there whether they like it or not. Moshe says, these Talmidim of mine, these 600,000 people, they need some inspiration. They need a retiree. They need someone who has a pension. They need someone to come sit here in the Beis Medrash and guide us.
Why don't you send them a carpet? Then we'll take turns.
We need inspiration. Don't leave us. This is another element of, you're not mitzvah, you're a ger, you have no obligation to stay, you're not part of this whole thing, but do you realize, if you will heed the call of Mila Hashem Elai, Lama Nigara, that look, you'll do for us wonders, you'll be an inspiration, and we'll be an inspiration upon you, and each one will feed off the other, and it will create a whole new world. Okay, now, everything is accounted for, until we get until the very end of the parasha, until the mon, except for one major chunk of the parasha, which seemingly doesn't follow in this theme. And I want to show you now that it does. And to say that is a very big chiddush. It's something which is very off the beaten path. And I think I'm onto something. Okay, I accept the criticism and the challenge, but I think there's something. I think the fact that he said this idea and opens up the parasha. Everything else in the parasha is all about voluntary act of going higher in Avodas Hashem. Let's now focus on the Masos. In this parasha, Bahaloscha is where we begin. We actually begin the Masos. In back, we learned about the Degolim, how they're going to be arranged. But this week's parasha is, that's it. We start traveling. We leave Har Sinai. We actually, for the very first time, we leave Har Sinai, and now it's the first Masa. And the Torah goes on and tells us how they travel, v'chulu v'chulu v'ayihi bin Sohar and v'yom Moshe, and it says multiple times, al pi Hashem yachanu, v'al pi Hashem yisohu. And I've always learned this, and I'm sure many have learned this, is that you had no choice. They traveled in the desert 40 years, they traveled a journey, the 48 Masos, or 42, they went backwards, whatever, let's say now from here on in, it was 42 Masos. It was 100% according to the demands of Hashem. You had no bechira in when you wanted to travel. Let's say it's a nice day today. Oh, it's a nice day today. You know, I think it would be a day, it would be a good day that we should travel. You know, let's travel. Or let's say it's a little cold today out there. Maybe today would be a good day we should stop traveling. Whoever told you? Who cares what you want? Hashem calls the shots. It says in the pasuk. It's apikorsis to say otherwise, that you have any influence over the masos. Al pi Hashem yisohu, yachanu v'al pi Hashem yisohu. Right? You got to be out of your mind to go think that you have any control over you. You go on an LL plane, you control the plane. The pilot decides, he calls the shots. And you sit and behave yourself. Zehu. You don't have a choice if we're going to stop over in another country. It's not your decision. Too bad for you. Sit down and enjoy the show. You're not going anywhere. It's not your decision. But we have to understand, the Masois are not just a physical traveling in the desert. The Masois, in the Masois, it represents a spiritual journey in life, a spiritual journey in time to Yimos HaMashiach. The journey of spirituality in our own lives and of Klal Yisrael in time is your choice. It's not Hashem's choice. Pumfakert. Hashem is on the sidelines and is rooting for us and has pain when we stop traveling. It's 100% in our power to travel, to go forward spiritually, and to be nichshol in averos, and to stop traveling, and maybe even go backwards. And those were that's what the Masos represent. You'll say to me, nonsense. It says in the Pasuk. What are you telling me spirituality with the Masos? Al-Pi, you can repeat to me a million times. Al-Pi Hashem Yisohu, V'al-Pi Yachanu V'al-Pi Hashem Yisohu. So now you can understand what it means, Rashi. Rashi, if you read Rashi, Rashi has some very strange things to say about that Pasuk. Al-Pi Hashem Yisohu, Al-Pi Hashem Yachanu. Let me read you what it says on page 406 in the article. You don't have to have a chumash in front. If you have a chumash, very good. It's in Perek Tes, Pasik Yud Ches, Al Pi Hashem Yisahu. Rashi feels the need to quote for us what it says in Bimeleches HaMishkan. It's a braisa. Bimeleches HaMishkan, Shinu Melech HaMishkan, Kavan, since, or I'll translate it a little bit differently, when. Kavan means when. Shehoyu Yisrael Noisim, when they traveled. Hoyo Amud He'onon Miskapel, when they traveled. Now from the context, it's clear as day it means, from the context, you'll read the words, you'll see I'm 100% correct, when they wanted to travel. Okay, from the context of Rashi, Malachsa Mishkan means, translate the words, Kevon, Shehoyu Yisrael Noisim, when the Jewish people wanted to travel. We're deciding when we're traveling. Not you, Hashem. When we want to travel, Hoya Amud He'onon, then the pillar of cloud, Miskapel, it folded up. It took the cue from the Jewish people and it contracted. It folded up. The Nimshach, and it positioned itself, Al Gabe B'nei Yehuda. It stood on top of B'nei Yehuda, came in curl like a beam. Then what did they do? Then the Levim took out their trumpets. Toku vihariu vitoku. They blew a tekia, trua tekia. And guess what? Nothing happened. The Amud Ha'on was still stuck there. Nothing happened. The lo hoya mahalech, the Amud Ha'on didn't move, budge 1 inch. At Shemoyesha Oimer, now Moshe steps up to the platform and Moshe says, Moshe Oimer, Kum Hashem! Nu Hashem! Let's get going! Hashem, let's get moving. Get in the car. Kum Hashem! Venosa Degel Machane Yehuda. And then they traveled. And this is the Pshat Rashi says, Al Pi Hashem. Now when Hashem starts going, we go. But that did not happen until first, Rashi says, in the Braisa, Torah Shebal Peh. You can't trust what it says in Torah Shebal Saf. You got to know what it says in Torah Shebal Peh to explain Torah Shebal Saf. Don't take the words literally, like I always did and everyone always does. There's a process here. Kevon Shehoyu Yisrael Noisim. When they wanted to travel, then the Amud Onan responded immediately, okay, I'm folding up. Moshe, they blew the shofar. Moshe gets up and Moshe makes the last request. And Moshe says the words to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the presence of Klal Yisrael, Kumo Hashem, rise up Hashem, it's time to go. Get in the car and let's go. Kumo, get on, push the accelerator. V'yafutzu evecha miponecha. And then the Amud Ha'onon, okay, I'm going now. Hashem was our passenger. We control the Pharish and Rashi. So it means exactly what that is. Hashem goes. Now Hashem first goes. Only after there's a sequence of events. So Rashi says, the Jewish people, we want to go. What happens if they want automatically? The Amud Ha'onan has a sense. Has a sense. Okay. The Amud Ha'onan folds up. It stands like a pillar. Then they blow the trumpets. Then Moshe gets up. And Moshe says to Hashem, Moshe commands Hashem. Moshe gives a command, Kuma Hashem, rise up Hashem. And then Hashem goes. And then we follow. And then we follow. So Al-Pi Hashem is only part of the story. The Pasuk is coming and telling us what happened. In the middle of the story, it didn't tell us that before Hashem began to move, the Jewish people wanted to move. And the cloud folded up in response to their move. And the Jewish people, they initiated it with blowing the shofar, and then Moshe further told Hashem, we want to go now, Kuma Hashem. It's in the middle of the story. It didn't just, oh, one day, oh, emergency, Emergency, everyone, you get an amber alert. Amber alert. The Amud Ha'onon is in motion. Get into your car.
Yeah,
what?
Well, so why did it take 38 years?
The answer is because it's not so easy to move forward.
Yes.
Also because it's not so easy to go up in Ruchnius. To move forward in Ruchnius is not an easy thing. There's a Yetzer Hara, that's why. And a person has a tendency to stagnate. It's very hard to move forward in life. How am I different this year than last year? How am I different this week than last year? Have I gone backwards in my spirituality? Or have I gone forward in my spirituality? Klal Yisrael in 40 years, they're traveling in a spiritual journey. It happens to be the spiritual journey is parallel in the physical world. But the Masos is not a physical journey. It's a physical journey. But the physical journey, these are spiritual people in the Midbar, Ruchnius, Anani HaKolon, it reflects a spiritual yearning to go forward. And sometimes we have to stop to rest. You have to know how to pace yourself in your spiritual journey. What is thus the major theme of the Masos? It's, we don't have to do anything in this world. It's all in your bechira, what you want to do. The entire parasha from beginning to end is the same theme. It's lama nigara, am potur lagamri. Aaron does not have to light the menorah. Hashem says, shalacha gedoyla, you want to light, you have tzar of the light. Your avoid of lighting, what you don't have to do is gedoyla. Comes to Yisro, you don't have to come with us, but come anyway with us. Pesach Sheni, so machloikis. No more if you came with that. Pesach Sheni, you don't bring a Pesach Sheni. Lama nigara. Okay, Sheva Levi. Why is there a Sheva Levi? It's only because they didn't have to do anything. Nila Hashem Elai. You don't have to come forward. They chose to come forward. In reward for coming forward, Nila Hashem Elai, Rash is in favor. Rash Mamash the Parish, we talk to the Levim, is because they heeded the call of Moshe Rabbeinu. And now the Masois. Only time we're going to travel. You don't want to travel? Gesundheit, you can stay here forever. Sit in the midbar, you'll have your man, your water, you go nowhere. The Masois was only because we want to go. We want to go. If you don't want to go, you won't go. That's the Masos. The Masos, al pi Hashem, yachmi, al pi Hashem, so don't be fooled like I was. It just means you're on an El Al plane and you have no say in what's going on over here. There's a spiritual journey when Klal Yisrael wants to move forward. Then Hashem, Moshe says, Kumo Hashem, oh, al pi Hashem. When Hashem goes, now we continue. But we initiated the process. It's the whole parasha, beginning to end, is a parasha to teach a person how much power they have. You don't live in a world where you are suppressed. You live in a free world. You live in a free world where you have bechira, and you can make the most out of every situation, and there is absolutely no limit. Okay, maybe there's one more very short vart, wind down to the very end. Short-lived vart is criticism. Moshe, Hashem says about Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha to Miriam. Miriam, he spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. How dare you? B'chol beisi nemanhu. There's no one like Moshe Rabbeinu. My entire bias, he's a neman. Every Shabbos, we give Moshe Rabbeinu praise. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko ki eved neman karasolo. Where did Hashem call Moshe Rabbeinu eved neman? When? At a time when he was criticized. When Moshe and Aaron were murmuring, what's with this guy Moshe? He's Purish and Ishtai. He's too religious. He was under attack. He was under Moshe Rabbeinu, was under attack. Under attack, criticized. And Hashem came to his defense and he said, B'chol Beisi Nemanu. The highest praise he got was how he responded to criticism. In life, we always think about, you want to go say, what's a person's legacy? Well, what do they accomplish? What do they accomplish? What are their major accomplishments? They did this, they did that. You see, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to write the Matzev of Moshe Rabbeinu, What does it say on Moshe Rabbeinu's Matzeh, which don't ever saw? Lo yada adam es kivur asai. Lo yada adam es kivur. If we were to discover Moshe Rabbeinu's kever, who made the Matzeva?
God.
Ribbono shel Olam. So what did Hashem write on this Matzeva? What Hashem, what? What did Hashem write? That Hashem wrote that he took out the Jews out of Egypt. He brought down the Torah. He brought down the Torah from Shemayim. What Hashem wrote on Moshe Rabbeinu's Matzeva? You ever see a Rebbe's Matzeva? All four sides, top bottom. You know how much that cost? $100,000 for a Rebbe Shah. A Rebbe should not save him. Every letter costs $50. A Rebbe should not save him. What did Hashem write on the Rebbe should not save him, Moshe Rabbeinu? Just a few words. B'chol Beisi Neman. All he wrote, B'chol Beisi Neman, four words. The whole Matzeva of Moshe, Poi Nitman Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the covered? B'chol Beisi Neman. Doesn't say anything about his PhDs. And about his accomplishments, and he sees Mitzrayim and the Matan Torah and all his chidushim. Doesn't say he was an admon, he was a kaddush, did maifsim, garnished. Neman is faithful. And when did he get that compliment? When? When he was criticized. He was criticized. He didn't respond. He took the criticism. The maila where you learn about a person's true greatness is to see how they deal with criticism. Bar mitzvah boys, very interesting. Bar mitzvah boys, the people invest in them an enormous amount of effort to teach them how to learn the parsha. They spend a year. I've noticed this. There's one thing that often they don't teach the child, the bar mitzvah boy. They don't teach the bar mitzvah boy how to deal when learning the parsha. They get up, they learn so beautifully. Some of them, they learn beautifully. They know, they try the mana. But know what happens sometimes. Even the biggest experts make a mistake. So a bar mitzvah boy, he's mamish perfect, but maybe middle of chamishi, he slips, and he said the wrong word, and the tzibur calls out. They jump. They jump. And the bar mitzvah boy has no clue how to respond. The professionals who lay in every week. Yeah. So some of them are very obnoxious, some of them are very arrogant, whatever. But there are people who know, they know there's an art. There's an art in being a professional Baal Kori who's responsible when you make a mistake in how to deal with the mistake. You accept it and you repeat the word. There's a graciousness. There's a way to deal with criticism. They usually forget to teach the Bar Mitzvah that just in case, chas v'shalom, you make a mistake, let me teach you how to deal with it. Don't get flustered. Don't get worried. Just stand there, listen, and then just take a deep breath, and you go back and you say the word loud and clear. That's godliness. To teach a person how to deal with making mistakes. Or with criticism. Criticism. The greatest praise Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu is B'chol Beisi Neman Hu. That was said upon him when he was criticized. He didn't get upset. It's okay. Criticize me. It's okay. That's true guidance. Have a wonderful Shabbos.